What's up, Yogi Show family? Welcome back to another episode of the Yogi Show podcast. My name is Pedro Luna. My co-host Yogi Brian and I are so grateful that you continue to tune in each and every week and have been loving our content. We have a lot of evolution happening with the show over the next few weeks, so stay tuned. But for today, we have an awesome guest who is an expert in the field of floating, Matt Beck, one of my good friends. If you have floated in a float pod before, aka a sensory deprivation tank, you already know all the amazing benefits. If not, and they are like, Pedro, what are you talking about? Just stay tuned and be prepared to get to a float center near you, stat. Aside from floating, you will gain insight on meditation, breathing, and ways to manage stress and anxiety. Everything is yoga, my friends. Just put some intention behind your action and boom. Before we get started, we wanted to let you know that this episode of the Yogi Show podcast is being brought to you by Bulldog Yoga. Bulldog Yoga is an online yoga platform that has that high vibe, bumping music, funky flow kind of feel. They are offering access to their platform to our loyal fans for absolutely free for 30 days. 30 days of free yoga. It's a no-brainer, and it's super easy to sign up, and the classes are super fun. Visit theyogishow.com and click on the giant button that says 30 days of free yoga with Bulldog Online or the link below on whichever platform you are streaming this on right now. Let's get to the show. We'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome to the show, Mr. Matt Beck. Good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How's it going, guys?
Fantastic. B, what's up, man?
How's it going, Pedro? How's it going, Matt? Happy to have you on the show talking about floating. Boom.
Floating, man. Floating. It's like, it's amazing. Matt, you are like the float guru of South Florida. So I've just coined you that as of like 4 seconds ago. I think you already know that though. Like, you're the guy.
Yeah, I don't know if I've gotten that exact title before, but I've heard a lot of it. Yeah, I've been, you know, working hard over the last 5 or 6 years establishing myself as an expert in the field anyway. I'm not trying to claim guru or the king of, but, you know, just trying to really have it dialed in so we can provide the best float experience to South Florida.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I didn't, you know, the first time I heard about floating, so for all the listeners out there, we're going to get into, let's just go with this. Matt, tell us, what is floating? Tell us, tell the listeners know what the context of what floating is, because they maybe have like no idea unless they listen to Joe Rogan, then they know. But if they don't, let them know.
Yeah. Thanks to Joe. Big time for the float industry. But yeah, so I turned my hat around, put on my elevator pitch. I can take a nap during this. But, you know, basically, we have a 4-tank float center in Deerfield Beach. Each of our tanks has about 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt dissolved into 180 gallons of water, creating a 30% Epsom salt solution. We have over 300 functions in our body. I just actually had a holistic doctor in last week that was saying it's probably more like 3,000 enzymatic functions in our body that require magnesium, and most of us are deficient. So just soaking in the solution has a huge array of benefits, but the main reason we use it is to help you float effortlessly. So similar to the Dead Sea and mineral content, your spine lengthens, body falls into natural alignment, tensions can let go. We spend about 20 to 30% of our energy in any given moment just fighting gravity. So by removing those effects, you're getting that energy boost for deeper healing, to recover quicker from that power yoga class last night, from injuries, workouts, fight off illness, inflammation, disease. And then the other goal is removing external stimuli. So rooms are built soundproof, so you don't hear anything. You turn off the light whenever you're ready, which in our tanks, totally in your control to turn that on and off. But turn that off, you don't see anything. And then the temperature of the solution and the air in the tank are set to be your external temperature. We keep about 94 degrees. So once you settle in, you don't feel anything. It's kind of super weird. Like, if it's just right, cool. I can't tell if my arm's in the water or not without like splashing around. But removing the sensory pretty much induces a meditative state. So, you know, obviously create great for reducing stress and anxiety, creative inspiration, focus. And then the other big benefit is it's an environment of homeostasis for the body, because you're dealing with minimal external stressors. So your hormones come to balance, blood pressure normalizes, heart rate, breath rate lower, blood flow increases. So tons of great benefits.
I love it. I love floating, and I'm so thankful for you introducing me to it. I know, Brian, you have not experienced floating.
I have not experienced floating. I was going to float before this episode, but I wanted to be like the fresh new person that you could talk to go floating. I'm going to go do it this weekend, and I watched your YouTube on floating, and I was like, you had me at space. You had me at floating at space.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And when I was watching you talk about floating, three words came to mind: parasympathetic nervous system. I don't know how many syllables those are, but parasympathetic nervous system right there, baby.
Yeah, you're getting max syllables out of minimal words there. So you can always appreciate that. Yeah, and that's what it's kind of all about, is finding that parasympathetic, you know, that we're all living in this, hitting that red line of the audio here in our lives.
Yeah, literally, like everything is on full blast all the time. And I know that when I enter that sensory deprivation tank and I allow myself to relax and just to let go and just be in the water, it's an amazing experience. I've been able to do it probably 8 to 10 times now. And every time that I go in there, it's amazing. It's like, for me, it's like, you know, Savasana is one thing, you know, but Savasana is like 5 minutes if you got a good teacher, 2 minutes if you're in power yoga and they got to get you the hell out because the next class is coming in. But floating is like 60 minutes, 90 minutes, and you really get to just let go and you feel as if like you're weightless and limitless. And like all this creativity for me comes in. Like that's what I get a lot of is creativity and obviously a deep sense of relaxation. We've had some in-depth conversations when I've come out of the tank before. And that's it's just so amazing that the power of that is out there to the universe, that people are able to do this stuff. How did you find floating, Matt? Like, how did it, like, there was no floating down here except for like one place before you came. How did you find floating and do this thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, you already named Joe Rogan's the one. I mean, I probably had heard of it before listening to on his podcast, but with my other business, I do event production, I'm music industry as well. And then dealing with family and life stuff that we all get tossed at us, I just found myself in a very unhealthy level of stress and anxiety. I wasn't sleeping well, having trouble focusing. And I was desperate to calm my mind, and I was trying to meditate, but I didn't know how to meditate, you know, just sitting there, you know, wondering what was going on. And then I heard Joe say, you know, that the float tank was a powerful tool for calming the mind. So I Googled it, and there actually was a tank 20 blocks from my house here in Delray. It wasn't their primary business. It was an acupuncturist office, and they happened to have a tank in the back. And so I gave it a try. And, you know, the first time I took a business call on the way to my first float that was led to, it was, oops. I got approved for like a program I'd been working my ass off to get. And they gave me the approval with last second and no budget, blah, 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 and hopped in the tank and had to deal with that with my mind. But, survived the first one. And then second, I saw the potential in that first float and went back a second time and got a little bit more comfortable, got a little bit deeper. And for me, it was really the third float that I just had this overwhelming feeling of, this is the way I'm supposed to feel. Like, this is the way my mind is supposed to be, you know, and my body's not supposed to be pulled into a knot like it usually is. But I just found it locally, and luckily there was one close by, and it really got me.
That relaxation, I was watching your YouTube and you said you like had anxiety or suffered from anxiety before. I can definitely relate to that. Still, even in my practice, I still suffer from social anxiety. I'm an introvert myself, which I just recently found out. I thought because, you know, I make memes, I make a lot of videos, I'm the class clown that I'm an extrovert, but I'm actually an introvert. Like, I need my fucking alone time. And when you were talking about like you needed your alone time and you went into the float, you went to go float, and that was like your fucking me time for 45 minutes, an hour. I was like, yes, I need me time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I came to realize that I just, wasn't giving myself any time. I was working, I was managing a band and putting on all these events, and I was falling asleep and waking up with my phone in front of my face, and there wasn't enough time in the day. And I kind of gave up everything that I used to do for me at that point. And I just had that realization in the tank that I need this time, you know, and now I work, you know, a third of as much and get, you know, 10 times more done.
Right? Isn't that amazing how that happens? Like, if I take time for myself and I make time for me, that I'm actually able to show up for myself and for others so much better and be so much more productive instead of just getting caught in the rat race, you know? But taking the time to go to a yoga class or a meditation class or a float tank or whatever it is for yourself, it's like, oh, I don't have the 60 minutes. You know, I love that quote that says, like, if you don't have to, you don't have time to sit for meditation for 10 minutes, then you should sit for like an hour. It's so, you guys, have you guys seen that quote before?
Yeah.
And it's so relatable. It's so relatable in today's ever like fast paced world that we need to take this time for ourselves. You know, you need to feel this way, this alignment within you, and you'll able to show up for everybody around you more fully. And I believe that like wholeheartedly in my heart. And this is just another reminder of that. You know, this is another reminder of that.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And relaxation is so important, especially we live in this culture where it's go, go, go. We're in our sympathetic nervous system. We're, you know, trying to get Instagram likes or trying to get, you know, this or that. And like, especially in the yoga class that I teach flow and I teach at a big gym. And there's really hardly any time for Shavasana, maybe 5 minutes. And people just don't want that at a gym. And it's like, I watch something in terms of my practice. I watch something that if you take like an hour vinyasa class, like you need like at least 30 minutes, almost an hour of Shavasana time just to relax. And that's why it's great with floating. From what I see is like, you go there and you have that time. It's just like a nice Shavasana, a nice time to just let the body rest and digest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time doing nothing, you know, just sitting around and doing nothing in my house. But I feel like committing to the float tank, showing up is such a big deal in everything. But just showing up to, you know, I joke, I'm an expert in nothing. I provide people absolutely nothing and they're happy to pay me for it. But like getting in a float tank is very much doing something to do nothing. Like to sit in my house and do nothing is very challenging for me. But to go into a float tank, I am fully committed and taking a big action to do nothing. And it, you know, that really, you know, helps me kind of find that balance.
Matt, so Brian just said something that made me spark something in me when he talked about a 30 to 60 minute Shavasana after like a vinyasa class. And I know there's a yoga studio next to your float center. So I'm assuming you've done this before where you've gone into yoga and then gone into the float tank. Is this true? Have you done
that? Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you can find 2 hours, 3 hours, some of my favorite floats are immediately following my practice. So I'll go do, and I've done a yin class into it and I've done a vinyasa into it and, you know, whatever you're feeling at the time. But doing the vinyasa and coming in, quick shower and dropping in, and you're, you know, the physical yoga practice prepares you for meditation. And I've had these like overwhelming experiences. I'll probably use overwhelming too much, but like one time
I'm overwhelmed
by nothing, you know? But having this feeling of being plugged in, like almost wrapped in there, like your body is, like if you just like relax your hand on the table where you're sitting, you can kind of feel the energy let go and buzz about the hand and your whole body doing that and just going deeper and deeper. I've had these feelings of like I'm plugged into the universe and there's electricity shooting through me and I can't move. I could probably move if I wanted to, but it was, you know, just as feeling like I'm wrapped in the tank, you know, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Connected to the source, you know, just, and it's so important to take that time to relax. Like I can't say it enough to everybody that's listening. And most of us, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I came to my yoga practice for just the physical, really to make fun of yoga, but just for the physical shape and to look better and to get fucking ripped. And now my practice is like, I love yin. I love kundalini. I love meditating. I love freaking relaxing and just connecting to, you know, the source, the universe, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I heard somewhere that like the majority of us in this culture, America, wherever you're from, like if you're go, 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 like we have this brain that has like hundreds of trillions of connections that does so much. Subconscious mind, like takes care of the body, heals the body. But we spend 95% of our fucking minds on external shit, Instagram, like, you know, physical yoga practice, whatever. And we don't like use that energy, like, to repair our own bodies, like, to connect, to relax. So I freaking love it. I freaking love going inward. Everybody out there, fucking float, do a meditation practice, take time, invest in yourself. But they say, like, LeBron James invests like millions of dollars on his own body. You know, it's a massage, float, things to relax, invest in yourself. If you're in Florida, go see Matt.
Yeah, go see Matt. Floating is really for everyone. You know, Brian mentioned LeBron James. I know there's a lot of professional athletes that float. Like, it's like a big part of like the healing process, not just for like people with stressed out, like, you know, physical bodies too. Do you have some stories about people that have come in or that you know about that float that are, you know, that are really using this modality and taking it to the next level?
Yeah, for sure. Float tanks are being put into more and more professional sports teams, locker rooms, college sports. We have America Top Team is right down the street from us. So we get a lot of UFC, MMA fighters. Thiago Alves comes in and floats before his matches. Colby Covington was, you know, held the belt there for a minute and he floated a bunch leading into his championship fight. You know, Steph Curry is one of the biggest advocates. He talks a lot about it openly. And, you know, he's known to be the calmest, coolest player in the NBA, multiple MVP, you know, champion. I know that Tom Brady has one in his house. You know, I'm friends with the people who maintain it. He doesn't speak as openly about it. I wish he would come out and talk about it. But, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. So, you know, those Patriots, they're keeping all their secrets real tight, not sharing what's working for them. Right. But I know he's got one in the house that he uses a lot. You know, that's what I hear. But, yeah, so physical recovery before while you're training, the mental aspect of visualizing yourself performing at a high level and going through all the plays, you know, there's a lot of studies into the visualization leading to better performance. So, yeah, not just the physical recovery, but mental as well.
Yep. Absolutely. The subconscious. Brian, hit the subconscious button. Just go.
I was just going to say that because I was watching your YouTube. And we'll link that YouTube on the show notes, but you were talking about brain states, brain waves, and I am so deep down the rabbit hole in terms of my own meditation practice on, you know, beta, alpha, theta, delta, and really like what I'm learning is like you can reprogram your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is basically what's doing everything in your reality. It's a small percentage what your conscious mind is actually doing. Your subconscious mind is doing everything. And it's a set of patterns, like going in a circle, set of patterns. You think the same things over and over again. And you were talking about when you float, you get into that theta brainwave, you know? So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So theta, you know, kind of like between wake and sleep, like in a kind of when you push the snooze button and roll back over and you're in that la la land, you know, the day is out there, but you're, you know, not quite ready for it. It's a pretty blissful place to be. That's kind of because people are like, do you fall asleep in there? And I mean, it is possible to fall asleep if you're tired and need it, you fall asleep, totally safe. But a lot of people come out like, I think I fell asleep in there. I'm not quite sure, you know, and that just leads me to believe that they're in that like in between state of, and then, you know, there's a lot of, you know, am I going to hallucinate in there? But my experiences are more kind of that dream like state that you'll experience in bed in that 9 minute snooze period you have. It's more of that kind of dreamy, wakey, dreamy kind of feel that you find in there.
Yeah. I felt that personally. I'm not sure if I'm sleeping or awake. Like when I got out, like, was I sleeping? Like I literally don't know. And I still don't know, and that's okay. But I've had the experiences that you talked about where you feel this dreamlike state, these like this clarity and this alignment is been really profound in those experiences. So I can totally relate getting into that. It's like that yoga nidra state for me.
Yes.
You know, it's like, that's what I'm feeling, like that yoga nidra state. And it reminds me of the Radiohead song, Where I End and You Begin, but I do it within myself, within my body. It's like, I'm not sure where my hand is in the water or are my eyes open or are my eyes closed? I can't tell. Right. And I don't really know what's happening.
Well, yeah. That subconscious mind is doing all the work, you know? And I like with the research that I've done about different brain waves, brain states is like that theta brain wave. Like that's for kids, kids are in theta brainwaves from ages 2 to 6, and then they go into alpha from age 5 to 8. So they're like more internal. They're more like dreamlike. They have the imagination. They got those imaginary friends. And that's where they learn. That's why kids learn so fast, is because like their subconscious mind is open. They're internal. So like when you go into deep savasana, a deep meditation, you're floating. Like that's when you can like either listen to something like a mantra, or, you know, figure out what's going on deep down in that subconscious mind. Just that awareness.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, about
thoughts
it.
Come right. up, deal with it, you know, deal with the different thoughts. And yeah, I've had, yeah. I mean, you hear like shadow work and stuff like that. I've dealt with shadow figures in floats and have like, you know, feel like I'm curing things. I don't even know how to explain it or what, but stuff comes up, you know, and not to be scared of it. It's never been overwhelming, because people are like, oh, I'm scared of to be alone with my mind. But you know, yeah. but there is work that happens in there if you just let it happen.
Absolutely. Work that needs to be healed, you know, especially now we got our cell phones. Like if we're antsy, we pop on Instagram or
swipe,
look at our email. And we don't have like time to like sit and just realize like what's going on in my mind. Like, and that's where the creativity comes from. I'm sure Pedro was talking about it. You sit in those floats and like you have an idea. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You know, this is a meme.
I've definitely hopped out of the tank quick when I have a good idea and get right to work. Sometimes I don't last a full time, and that's fine. But, and then, you know, it's common, like Brian, what you're saying, I got into yoga so I wouldn't get hurt playing soccer and beach volleyball more. And now I can't even describe what it does for my anxiety and spiritual side. But you know, a lot of people come in, they're like, well, what do I do? Like, they feel like they fail if their mind's busy in the tank. And, you know, it's really a mental workout is how I like to look at it. Like, you focus on your breath, mindful, your mind. I mean, Buddhist monks' minds wander. They have thoughts. They just recognize them. So, you know, I like to think of it as like a mental curl. Like, your mind wanders, you recognize it wanders, you grab it, and you bring it back. And every time you bring it back, you're just getting stronger at that action. So that when you're in the day-to-day life, you know, and somebody cuts you off or you're working on something on the computer and your phone rings, your mind goes somewhere you don't want it to go, you've practiced just bringing it back and focusing on what you're doing, which is what I, you know, I'd kind of discovered I was living a very reactive life. Like, I wasn't really ever choosing what I was doing, you know, in my previous anxiety-ridden self. But, you know, it was always like, oh, phone rings, take that. Oh, doorbell rings, take that. Oh, dog barks, take that. And not ever just focusing on what I'm doing. And I think my work in the tank has really helped me with that. And guys that come in, and the more macho athlete, you know, yogis love floating before they even walk in the door. They're kind of already there. But, you know, the athletes and the more the CrossFit guys that come in and girls, and they're just more type A personalities. And then I kind of explain this to them, and that kind of, they realize that, oh, workout, I'm doing something, it's okay. And you're not failing if your mind's wandering, you know, it's just an opportunity every time you have that experience.
Yes. Okay, yogis, it's Pedro chiming in with your mid-episode trivia. This is one of the funnest parts of the show that Brian and I have. We come up with a random question that's something around the guest and something around what's happening in the episode. And today, of course, it's about floating. We hope you're really enjoying this episode with Matt Beck. He's an expert in the industry of floating. You've got to try this float thing. Please send us a message when you do. Let us know what you thought when you tried it out. I seriously love it so much. Okay, here's today's question. Hope Floats was a 1998 romantic film starring Harry Connick Jr. and which congenial actress? Hope Floats was a 1998 romantic film starring Harry Connick Jr. and which congenial actress? See what I did there? Hope Floats. Floating. Get it? All right. Anyways, I like that movie back in the day. But for now, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, it's a practice. It's a practice. You know, keep bringing it back. Keep bringing the mind back. Keep bringing the mind back. And when you relax, ladies and gentlemen.
And sometimes I'm stronger in the gym, and then some days I have weak days, and you know, like I struggle. Right. But
yeah, it's like, you know, daily practice, right, Pedro?
Just showing up. That's it, man. Just showing up. You know, just showing up. How has floating, Matt, like, enhanced your let's say your yoga practice, like how has, well, obviously it's enhanced your life, but like yoga practice specifically, have you noticed some specific either physical benefits or, you know, obviously there's mental benefits, but what specifically do you think you could attribute floating to enhancing your yoga practice?
Well, you know, when you're holding warrior two for an extended period of time and they're telling you to, okay, relax your glutes. You know, the practice of letting go of things, I think just that inner strength of using your fascia instead of your muscles and just the letting go physically. And I mean, mentally is probably where I make the most, but you know, pratyahara, bitches, like it's, yeah, you know, it's getting out of my, what helps with my physical probably is getting out of my physical body, which is what floating has taught me. So just letting go, yep, and just getting further and further away from my body. And that when, you know, my instructor's having me hold my arms up in a V with my thumbs out for 7 minutes and I can just leave my body and not let my arms down, then, so it's, yeah, all tied to, so to, you know, together. So to say physical over mental, you know, I don't know, but yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, but just getting out of,
yeah,
focusing on the breath. Like I can't possibly hold this five more breaths. You want me to hold a five more breath? You know, in the beginning that was overwhelming and I would go into child's pose and cry, but now I can get out of it and, you know, and just kind of take the physical practice further by not allowing my mental to be overwhelmed.
Oh yeah. I bet I could hold crow pose or bakasana for like 10 minutes in the float tank.
In the pod?
In the pod.
Yeah.
Hey man, anything's possible. I know when
well, that's for the gram right there.
Yeah, it's for the gram. They busted out for the gram. Except in the pod, you are in your birthday suit. So I'm not sure the gram is going to allow you crow posing in the pod.
Maybe I'll post
suit.
That on Twitter.
You know?
Yeah.
But the I think about like all these experiences that we have in yoga, in life. And all of it really is just like a setup for the next thing, you know? And when we take this time for ourselves to ground, to be, to breathe, and to move, you know, to get this deep dive within. I always think back to the yoga couple one that, you know, the inner work. You know, when we do the inner work, there's just like all this magic is happening. So just let these episodes and let this one specifically just encourage you to take a little bit more time for self-care. Take a little bit more time for you. It takes some time to experience something different. Maybe this is the invitation to try something that you haven't yet. Maybe you've wanted to start a meditation practice. Sit for 1 minute. Don't make that have to make the commitment to sit for 20. Just try sitting for one. I actually made a meme about that. I'm going to share it after this episode. But I made a meme about that. Just stop saying I'm going to start tomorrow and like start today. Like just start right now.
Yeah, start today, right now, right after this show.
Right after the show.
A lot of my friends have seen me get into yoga in the last few years and talk. I try not to be the guy always talking about yoga, but sometimes I am. But, you know, I like walking out your front door to go to yoga is doing yoga. You know, getting in the car is doing yoga if you're intending to go to yoga. Like, it's just making the action, making the decision. I think about,
absolutely, everything is yoga.
Yeah, I think about like momentum a lot, like our life momentum, where we're moving. And I had like bad, you know, I don't, negative bad momentum that wasn't working for me, whether it was good or bad previously. And when you're moving ahead, full steam ahead, when a cruise ship is, you know, moving along, it's hard to even turn a degree or two, let alone a 180, which is what I was looking to do. So, you know, I like to think of the float tank as, you know, slowing down. I mean, you can make sharper turns when you're still, is something I like to think about. You know, if you're moving along, you can move, but you gotta hang on that steering wheel to turn at all. You know, the slower you're moving, the less effort it takes to make more change in your life and think about it and enact it. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the powerful tool, you know, most powerful things about yoga or sitting or floating is just kind of the opportunity to, you know, you might be living a healthy life and you might only want to change a degree or two. I was trying to pretty much pull a 180, but you know, if you're just trying to fine tune your direction on a regular basis, it's a great place to do it. And then be able to re-enter the world with that fresh mindset.
Amazing. Yes. Baby steps. I'm I can definitely relate to you. Pedro knows this. I'm a fast starter. I want to do so many different things. And like, if I was new to yoga and new to floating, I am new to floating, but I would be like, I'm going to float like 3 times tomorrow. Like just, that's
you're going right
you
now.
Know, like I'm going to float fucking all day my first time and then just be like, just tired of it. Right. So anybody out there, if you're a fast starter too, like just take your time.
Yeah, and with the float, if you're curious about trying it, I would give it that 3 times. We offer an intro 3-pack. We do half price on your first 3 floats. Most floats, it's a pretty common across the industry and even yoga. The first time you go into a yoga studio, especially if you've never done yoga before, I mean, just getting to look around and know where everything is, you know, like don't expect massive change on your first float or your first yoga practice. But we do an intro 3. If you're curious about it or want to experience the benefits, I would challenge you to give it I don't know if they need to be 3 in the same day, like Brian here, fast starter, but once a week for 3 weeks and then see how you feel after that 3rd one. You know, if you're curious about it, I would, you know, challenge you to make that commitment of, you know, the first time you just kind of learn your way around, go in with an open mind, explore the environment, turn the light on and off, open it and close it, because you know that's a common concern. Maybe we could talk about some of the common questions we get.
Claustrophobia.
You know, with that 3, the second time then you come, you know what to expect. You go a little bit deeper. We'd answer any questions, and by that 3rd time, we find that most floaters, if they haven't already, that's where they find those deeper, more kind of profound experiences. Again, a lot of yoga people are yogis, you know. They're closer, so they may experience it quicker, but you know, people like when I was first getting in the tank wasn't quite ready for it. But I mean, common question, Brian, you never floated before. Claustrophobia comes up. That's a very common question. It's like 3% of the population is actually claustrophobic, but like 97% of the people I talk to are claustrophobic but you know, it's a natural fear. Like fear of heights is a natural fear, because if you fall, it's not good. You know, if you're stuck in a tight space and can't get out, it's not good. Sudden loud noises is another natural fear. If there's an explosion close by, you're going to move away from it, you know? So, but with the claustrophobia, it's a tight space, but it's more the loss of control. It's not being able to get out. And once you get in there and see how easy it is to get in and out, I mean, you can leave the tanks open. That's a common, I mean, people think I lock them in there for 90 minutes and that, you know, we're not the CIA, you know, using it for, you know, whatever, but, you know, you get in and out whenever you want. You can take your time. I joke around. You can sit on the bench and look at the tank for 90 minutes and never get in. And if that's what you need to do that day, then that's that's totally fine by us. But, you know, you're in total control. You can sit up, you can turn the lights on, you can open it, get some fresh air. You can get out. I'll hear the shower come on in the middle of people's floats. And then I'm like, oh, they're done. But then they don't come out for another 30 minutes. So they just freshened up and then got back in, you know? So, I mean, that's a common question, but you're in total control of the experience. And that's really, you know, probably the biggest holdup. I mean, what comes to mind, Brian? You're thinking about floating here shortly.
Yeah. So what came to mind is, so about a year and a half ago, my friend from work was talking about how she floats. And I had never heard about floating before. I'm like, what the heck is this? Like, she showed me a picture and I'm like, okay. And then my other coworker, he's like a Karen, a Carl, like just negative as shit. And he's like, well, how is this sanitary? Like, what do they do to like clean this? I don't want to go like somewhere. I don't want to go into something where somebody was in there before. So can you talk about like how sanitary it is and how people.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's the other big one. You know, with 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt in the tank, 30% salt solution, similar to the Dead Sea in mineral content, nothing can grow in the solution. So I can send you some other links. Maybe we can I attend the National Float Conference every year, and there's some great video of people talking about the sanitation of, you know, like experts in the field. I can talk a bit about it, but we can provide some of that so people can check it out if they're curious about floating. But, that's the salt, nothing can grow in that environment. But then the standard, which Florida is backwards, and hopefully my health department doesn't listen to this, but you know, they want us using chlorine or bromine. We're actively trying to change that in Florida. But the standard is we use a combination of UV light and ozone as the primary sanitizers, and then we just use a splash of a high percentage hydrogen peroxide, and get a little chemistry sciencey on you. There's probably a couple nerds out there listening. The way that works is
There's definitely nerds out here.
Ozone is O3, so it's one oxygen molecule more than the O2 that we're breathing. And the hydrogen peroxide is H2O2, one oxygen molecule more than the water that we, you know, consume regularly. So, and the way the process works is when the ozone and the hydrogen peroxide pass through the UV light separates the extra oxygen molecule, creating what's called hydroxyl radicals. And those oxygen molecules, those loose oxygen molecules, are then in the solution. The offset of that is water and the air we breathe. So there's nothing negative about it. And then you have these loose oxygen molecules in the solution that act like magnets. They're not happy being single like that, and they're not going to join up in the solution. So they, you know, it runs through a filter system. It's like a spa filter. So there's a filter system built onto each tank. In Florida, we must pass all the solution through the filter 5 times. So we run it for about a half hour between each floater. And anything that's too small to get picked up by our 1 micron filtration system gets attached to those oxygen molecules that are acting like a magnet until it gets big enough to actually get picked up by the filter. So it's actually a process that physically removes everything from the solution. And the only, you know, the only other thing being produced by it is water and air. So there's no, as opposed to like chlorine or bromine gas that offputs, and, you know, especially in a closed tank without good ventilation, isn't the most ideal, you know, way to do it. But we're still considered pools and spas. There's bills in the, if you're in Florida and want to call your rep, we're trying to pass a bill this year to get pulled out from underneath pools and spas. But you know, if you were to buy acres of land down here and wanted to open a private swim club with a big pool, you would have one application fee. I've got 4 pools, 4 applications, 4 application fees, you know, so it doesn't really totally make sense. But, you know, just there's also not a lot of float centers, so there's not a lot of reason to change it when there's so much other stuff that the politicians could be working on. So I understand. But we're working on it. But sanitation, totally clean. We close half day Monday. We do a deep clean. So then we obviously clean everything that gets touched in between every floater, but then we close down half a day, actually get in the tanks. We scrub floor to ceiling. Our float rooms are built to be pretty much like walk-in showers. We have multiple floor drains, epoxy floors, you know, FRP walls, like a plastic coating on the walls. So we scrub floor to ceiling once a week and really sanitize everything. We take that pretty seriously and hope that, you know, other float centers are doing that as well. And we try to hold each other to a high standard. It's a great industry to be in. We're very supportive. There's some great, you know, a Facebook group that we're all float center owners are in, and we share a lot of information and kind of make sure we're all doing it at a high level.
Yeah, keeping the integrity of the product high.
Yeah, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Because if somebody has a bad experience, goes into a dirty float center and then starts telling their friends that they're not sure about it because it was gross in there, then that's not good for the growing industry, you know? So,
I wish bromane was actually like a good thing. Because it has the word bro in it.
Because it has the word bro.
I can't have everything.
No, bro.
One shirt idea. Do you even float, bro?
It is. I have that shirt. There's a manufacturer. They actually went out of business. They closed down, a tank manufacturer that handed those out at the Float Conference 1 year. And I don't rock it much, but I do have that in the drawer. I'll tell you, I need to get my hands on that American Psycho Yogi t-shirt because I feel like it is 100% me. Like I start going psycho and I need to get to yoga now. And then I run. I'm lucky enough, the yoga studio I practice at's across the street from my house. So I can be there in about 30 seconds of needing yoga. So when I see I'm about to go psycho, I pull the ripcord as fast as I can.
Yeah, nice. We're gonna get you that shirt, Matt. Don't worry. We're gonna get it. Brian, cue up Magoo. Yeah. We're gonna send that out.
Yeah, we're gonna send you that shirt.
You know, Destiny always wears another one of your t-shirts. The
I know she does. The Ohm one. I know. Destiny's Matt's beautiful wife. They're both obviously amazing humans. We've been connected for a long time, and we're just grateful that you're able to share your knowledge about floating and all the benefits that come along with it, and how it's really changing the shape of like people's mindset and like leveling up the world. You know, like this wasn't around. You know, when was the first float like tank ever?
Well, the float tank, the sensory deprivation tank, float tank, the first one was in the mid-1950s. John C. Lilly was developing it for the National Institute of Mental Health. And then while he had his participants in the studies came in, then there was, I'll give you a brief, and I've had conversations, John Lilly has passed, but the Perrys, Glenn and Lee Perry, Glenn Perry's a designer, and they used to lower you down into it. You would have to wear a breathing apparatus. They used ocean water, so it wasn't quite as buoyant. You know, we're about twice the salinity of the ocean, so you float a little bit better in the ocean. We're twice that, but they used to lower you in. It wasn't, you think it's scary getting into one of our float tanks. You see that. Glenn Perry had the idea of laying it down so you'd float belly up, and the salt water wasn't strong enough to float in that setting. So that's when he switched to the Epsom salt, because he was adding more like NaCl, like sea salt, and it just became too corrosive on the skin. So commercially, late 70s, you know, and then it kind of was picking up steam in the 80s and was actually pretty popular. And a lot of the blame goes, I guess, to the AIDS epidemic of the 80s, because it was popular in city centers, you know, also hippies' basements across middle America, but primarily New York, San Francisco, Chicago, LA had these float tanks. But then with AIDS and people not knowing how that was being spread, it kind of really hurt the industry. And it wasn't until like the last 8 or 10 years, kind of with the resurgence of yoga and I think, you know, the market crashing and people kind of going to to relieve their stress and pursue other things, is when floating really started picking up again. So
cool, man. It's amazing that, you know, like it's picked up again and how impactful it is to the world again. Like, and it's cool. I was going to say like 50 years ago, and I was kind of close on like that range. So, but, all right, so let's do this, man. Let's get to the lighten up round, because this is like the best part of the show. And I know Yogi Brian has got some lighten up questions that are going to be out of this world with the floats. So, so we do, you've heard that, obviously you've listened to the show before, Matt, so you know a little about the lighten up round. So just funny questions, you know, just kind of off the cuff, you know, shoot from the hip, no big deal. And I have some fun with it. Brian, I'm going to let you go first on the lighten up round, and I want to see what you got.
All right, so first question on the lighten up round. So which planet would float better, Neptune or Jupiter?
Well, I think Neptune's further away, right? I think you're further from the sun. I think gravity would be less in Neptune. So I'm going to go with Neptune.
Neptune.
Neptune. Let's go. It looks like a float tank. I mean, it's blue.
There you go. There you go.
Although there was a presentation at the float conference this year. They were talking. There's a huge Epsom salt sea on, maybe it was Jupiter. I gotta look that up, but there is like the largest float tank on a planet. I'll look that up and let you guys know, but there's like, the largest sea of the planets. I should have that, but all right, next.
Next one is, who floats better? And these are Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade floats, okay? So either the Marshmallow Man, from Ghostbusters, or Tinkerbell. Which one floats better? Which one loves it?
I think the Marshmallow Man loves him more. He's dealing with a lot more gravity on a day-to-day basis. Tinkerbell's always floating around.
Yeah,
that's true.
And people, you know, that's a good point. People think they don't float. I don't float. It doesn't matter how big you are. I've floated a bowling ball in our float tanks. Like, you will float. So that's another comment. Like, oh, I don't float. So
You're floating. Yeah, you're floating. You're floating. That's awesome. Okay, so Brian loves Disney. Let's get a Disney one, Brian. Brian loves Disney. Okay, so Matt, who would float better in the tank? Buzz Lightyear or Woody?
Who would float better in the tank? Buzz is in outer space floating all the time. Yeah. So he's probably more used to it. So would he float better? He floats better.
Yeah, he floats better. He floats better.
He does, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably doing tricks in the float tank.
He's used to
good old Buzz.
All right, Brian, last one. Hit him.
Okay. This is totally
random. This is random as fuck.
It's totally random. We're going to go Disney princesses. Okay. So Cinderella or, oh my God, I'm drawing the Disney princess. Pedro, give me another Disney
Jasmine.
Princess. Jasmine. All right. Who attains enlightenment first in the float tank?
I mean, Jasmine's from India. I don't know. She's probably closer to the, you know.
The source. Yeah. Jasmine, bro. It's Jasmine.
We'll go Jasmine, but I would have to call on my, like, my 10-year-old niece for a better answer.
Yeah, man. So fun. Matt, this has been awesome, man. Thank you for all the knowledge. Thank you for lightening up with us and sharing your, you know, your expertise in the float industry and bringing it to South Florida. I'm so grateful for you and for Destiny, your beautiful wife, that have provided space for me to come and float. And I know you're building a second center in Fort Lauderdale. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, it's happening down in Fort Lauderdale. So we're going to link the Floatate Wellness Lounge all in the show notes. If you live in Florida, actually, I think we have the most listeners in the USA, in California, and also in Florida. So if you live down here in Florida and you want to check out the Float Center, there's going to be some links below to do so. Matt,
yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Time,
and if you're not in South Florida, Google Float Tank near me and check it out. Don't be afraid. And if you're yoga teachers out there, Pedro is one of our teammate ambassadors. If you're a yoga teacher, you know, most float centers are happy to barter or, you know, so don't be afraid. Go introduce yourself. They're open to it. And, you know, find it. And hit me up if you want. So if you have any questions, I'm here. I'm about promoting float in general, whether you're in South Florida or not. So any questions or you need any direction, I'm happy to help. So
love it, man. Love it. Brian, thank you for your infinite wisdom on, I love when you talk about brainwaves, man. It just like touches my heart. Like, I just think that subconscious thing, like we've been talking about it so much and like, this is the perfect episode that we mashed on that.
Yes.
Like, so cool. So cool, bro.
Perfect episode. And anybody that is thinking about self-care, this is one of the best quotes I've heard is, when you invest in yourself, you invest in your future. When you invest in yourself, you invest in your future. If you take time, massage, float, take an extra Shavasana, you're investing in your future.
Love it. All right, bros. I'm going to sign off. I love you both. Namaste. And we'll see you on the other side. Peace, guys.
Namaste.
Okay, my friends, and there you have it. Another episode of the Yogi Show podcast down. Thank you so much, Matt Beck, for joining us in the show. Thanks for sharing all the knowledge about floating, meditation, breathing, overcoming adversity. It was so fun. Be sure to check out a float center near you, and please send us a message and let us know how it went. Please tell us what your experience was like. We would love to share it, and we appreciate all of you checking out new things, trying new things, and being part of this beautiful community here on the Yogi Show podcast. Be sure to check out theyogishow.com for all the show notes on this episode, all the links, all the information to get that 30 days of free yoga from Bulldog Yoga we talked about in the beginning of the show. If you haven't already signed up, it is super easy, super fun, energetic classes. I love it. Banging music. It's a good time. You got nothing to lose. It's free. 30 days for nothing. So check it out. Big thanks to DJ Taz Rashid for sharing his beats on this podcast. Thank you for Colin producing the show, CT Audio Design, everything back on the site. I know you want to hear the answer to the trivia question. I know. You want to know who the congenial actress was in 1998 Hope Floats. And the answer is Sandra Bullock. I love Sandra Bullock. I love that movie, The Net. But I worked at the video store back in 1998, and when I was there, this movie came out, and I watched it. I was sappy, and I liked it. So Sandra Bullock's the answer for Hope Floats. Hope you enjoyed this episode, my friends. We will see you soon. You will see us soon, because we're bringing video your way. Get ready for it. These episodes are not only going to be audio, but they're going to be video very, very soon.